I remember one particular fellow I saw in Guayaquil. It was during my previous trip to South America, and I had to go up to Ecuador in connection with the installation of a medium-sized milling plant. I had finished work for a day, and after dinner I wandered around in the town for an hour or so. I was in the harbor area when I came across a dentist. Late as it was, he was busy at work. His surgery was a table and chair in the forecourt of a large gas station. His light came from the decrepit gasoline pump. He was dirty looking for a dentist. I discovered that during the day he went from house to house buying up all unwanted dentures. In the evening he came along and set up his primitive surgery at the gas station. The only instrument this dentist had was a pair of pliers. With these pliers he yanked out the teeth of his Indian patients. There was no fuss, no bother, no offense, no waiting room, no laboratory, just the man, his pliers, his table and his chair. This dentist did not believe in anesthetics either. Sometimes he did give a patient a swig from a bottle of aquadent, which he kept on the table by his elbow. Aquadent is 98% pure sugar cane alcohol, so perhaps he intended to drink to be used for both antiseptic and analgesic purposes. If a patient needed dentures, then he had the choice of the dentist's second-hand collection. It did not matter if the poor fellow had just had an extraction. The dentist rummaged along his stock, found a plate with the requisite number of teeth on it, thrust it into the patient's mouth and told the fellow to bite hard. Even though his gums were still bleeding, you could hear him yell with triumph as he found the right plate and rammed it home. That plate will last forever, he announced, the wording never varying. It will come out. Off you go and buy yourself a bottle of aguardiente on your way home. The dentist ended this exhortation with a great belly laugh, in which his patient nearly always joined. As I said, the South Americans are basically a very happy people. So, we have come to chapter 5, which is named Lima. When I first began to tell about the rather uncomfortable pains of my kidney illness, it was not my intention to bother my readers with a medical history. This is hardly a life without the sickness, and if everyone was would start writing about it, there would be no end to it. However, the following pages, I hope, will show my patient's friend the reason behind all this. I have to explain that at the beginning of the year 1967, an endless and miserably flight over the snow-covered Andes Mountains from Quintus to Lima, the doctor of the Mason Francis Hospital in Lima ordered an operation. I went through the usual routine of checks, tests and x-ray pictures. The trouble was located in my right kidney. My doctor explained things to me and agreed to have the operation as soon as possible. I was allocated a very nice room with a private bath on the ground floor of the hospital. An inner door led to the antechamber, which gave on to the patio garden, which is a characteristic feature of Latin American architecture and shows the Spain influence that persists in Peru. My quarters were indeed very comfortable. I thought that if I was doomed to die under the knife, then at least I would die in a pleasant surroundings. A friendly sister of Spanish origin took charge of me. At first it was rather a silent friendship, for after all the tests I felt really wretched once more. However, as the pain subsided, a warm relationship developed between us. Sister Marta, for that was her name, told me all about her work and the history of this famous hospital. She also told me about her nostalgia for Spain. Strangely, the climate in Peru did not agree with her, and she longed to get back to Europe. I was told I would have to have my operation some 3 days after, and after I had been admitted to the Mission France hospital. I would have liked to have had it right away, but there was little I could do to change the operation theater timetable. As I resigned myself to putting up with the intermittent pain for another couple of days and sweat it out in that very pleasantly decorated room. When I say sweat it out, I really mean what I say. In the months of January and February 67, Lima was enjoying a heat wave, and in the tropics that means that it is very hot indeed. I kept the window and the door to the patio open in order to obtain the greatest advantage from the little breeze there was. On the second night that I spent at the Maison France, I had a very severe bout of pain. So strong was this agony of mine that with the pain and the heat of the night, I felt the death would be a welcome relief. I tried to reach the bell pushed by the side of my bed. My intention was to summon the night nurse and ask her to give me some painkilling injection. Automatically, I registered the time by my bedside clock. It was almost 3 in the morning. My groping